Gators Dockside presents Monday Night with Nick and Company on ESPN 580 Orlando.
It is Monday Night with Nick and Company. It's brought to you by Gators Dockside. Welcome in. 2-hour show today. I couldn't be more excited. We got all kinds of stuff to get to. This is my favorite time of the year. The NBA offseason is here. There's three seasons in the NBA year. You've got the regular season, you've got the playoffs, and you've got the offseason. This is easily the second best season.
Technically four with the preseason until Christmas.
We're not talking about that.
The preseason until Christmas.
All right, fine. Okay, four seasons. This is easily the second most intriguing part of the NBA year. You can't beat the playoffs. You can't beat the finals. But the NBA...
Maybe this year, though, you can.
Maybe. The NBA of any other sport has the most intriguing offseason. It's like the finals are over, right? We should have had a Game 7 last night. We didn't, but we could have had a Game 7 last night, and we fall right into the NBA offseason. Where's Paul George going to go? Someone, anyone wants Jimmy Butler. Teams are trying to make a deal. In the last hour, we found out that Phoenix, Minnesota, Cleveland, and Boston are all trying to make some moves for Jimmy Butler to get the Chicago two-guard to their city. Paul George reportedly wants out of Indiana. We're going to get into that. Of course, we had a big trade over the weekend. The Celtics and the 76ers making a deal. Markelle Fultz is going to be a Philadelphia 76er, a trade I love for both of those teams if one thing happens. And I'll tell you what that is coming up as well. As I said, welcome into the show. He's Chris Crawford. I'm Nick Grunowitz. Thanks for joining us. Coming up in 2 hours, the Kevin Sutton Show right here on ESPN 580 as well. Make sure you go online, GatorsDockside.com. Find the nearest location to you. All you can eat traditional wings tonight. You can try their different sauces. As I said, this is my favorite time of the year for the NBA season. I like the playoffs. That's fine. I guess it's my second favorite time of the year because you can't beat that time. But you've got the rumors, you've got trades, you've got players being courted. We're tracking airplanes now. I mean, it really is. It's the paparazzi soap opera part of the NBA that guys my age, maybe people my age, the younger fans in basketball, we truly do enjoy, and I think some of the older ones do as well. But you've got free agency, the draft, truly just all kinds of intrigue, and it changes on a dime at any point. As I said, the NBA over the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NHL, it has the best offseason because it is just chock full of drama, and more drama. Now, we're going to get to the Paul George stuff, and that's actually what I was going to start the show with, but we've got new news on Jimmy Butler as well. And Chris can kind of pull up some of the more details on this, but ESPN's Mark Stein reporting about 20, 30 minutes ago about Jimmy Butler that the Cleveland Cavaliers are in talks with the Chicago Bulls trying to figure out a three-team deal because Cleveland's got nothing, right? Like Cleveland, they're capped out. They've got three star players. They've got an okay bench, but they've got nothing else aside from that. So they need to try to bring...
How long is Darren Williams under contract?
Just
to sweeten the deal a little bit.
Yeah, just throw Darren Williams in there. That's right. Hey, we've got a corpse. You want a corpse? He looked nice in Chicago. You put him up next to the AC unit, keep nice and cold.
The loyal Illinois following will still buy tickets to these games.
But in order to get a deal done, Cleveland needs to get a third team in, whether it be a team like Phoenix, a team like Minnesota, though it sounds like they want Jimmy Butler. They don't want to be
the bride. Yeah.
Yes. And Tom Thibodeau wants his guy back
as well.
They got
a lot more assets, too.
But they do. They've got the pieces. Boston has the pieces. You could say Phoenix has the pieces as well to bring Jimmy Butler to their city. I don't know how Cleveland gets this done. Like, just off the top of my head, is this news is kind of breaking about Jimmy Butler. And we talked about kind of the tiers the players are in. I would put Jimmy Butler in that same tier as I would put Paul George, that kind of third-tier guy that needs to have other talented players around him for your team to have a legitimate shot to make a deep playoff run. He's a two-way player, and we heard Jeff Weltman and John Hammond, and I'll play some of these cuts later, the Orlando Magic president of basketball operations and general manager talking about two-way players and versatility. The two guys in the news today are kind of the picture of versatility. They can guard multiple positions, they give you offense, and they give you defense. They're two-way players, and every team is looking for that. You look at the Golden State Warriors and what they've been able to do, their team, for the most part, two-way players. I think about Draymond Green, who can shoot a little bit, Andre Iguodala, Klay Thompson, probably one of the best two-way players in the NBA, and he put that on display during the NBA Finals this season. Jimmy Butler would be a big get for Cleveland. Obviously, I think that that's probably an understatement. A big get. It would be a monumental get for Cleveland if they could keep their big three intact. I just don't see how they do it. Like, I don't know how you get this done. You call up some teams, I guess, and you say, hey, we're trying to work a three-team deal here, and maybe you can get some future assets that are better than your current assets?
Am I the only... I feel like I might be the only one thinking this, too, but I just don't understand how it'll work when you have Kyrie, mm-hmm. LeBron, and Jimmy Butler, right. Paul George. Either one of those guys is pretty interchangeable in the style of play that they have. Sure. Paul George might be a little more ball-centered. Actually, no, Jimmy Butler loves to have the ball in his hands, too. That's three guys who...
They're both jab, step, and shoot guys.
Right, but even Kyrie and LeBron are both ISO hold the ball at the top of the key guys. The reason it works with Kevin Love is because he doesn't command that ball to hold in his hand all the time. He's a kick out, shoot the ball kind of guy. When you look at the Warriors, they've got Steph and KD, and then Dre and Klay are kind of guys that can play off the ball a lot. Klay especially, he's got like the least amount of dribbles of everybody. So I'm just wondering, I'm not concerned about the shots. People will get their shots. I'm concerned about how the offense would flow with three guys who don't necessarily like to continually move the ball around.
That would be the biggest concern. And I talked about this Friday as well about whether or not I would rather have Kevin Love or Paul George on a team. Now, Paul George gives you something Kevin Love doesn't. That's defense, right? Like, he gives you defense.
And he matches up with the Warriors better, which I guess is kind of moves are.
Does it hurt the offense, though, right?
Right.
I'm not sure that it does. Like, I think that if Cleveland has an opportunity to kind of shuffle the deck here and move away from Kevin Love and bring in either Jimmy Butler or Paul George, I'd do it. Because those guys, both of those guys are better players than Kevin Love is. I understand Kevin Love is underrated, and I do not blame Kevin Love for Cleveland losing that series, but I think both those guys are more versatile and they give you more options on that Cleveland team than Kevin Love does. Kevin's basically standing on the left corner or the right corner, right, waiting for his spot-up shots, and he'll give you a little bit of rebounding. But defensively, he's kind of a zero. That's at least my feeling.
And he definitely isn't, as much as he's grown into that three-point shooter, I still think he likes to get down low and kind of bang down low and try and get points in the paint and rebound and play kind of that rough and tumble sort of play, because that's when he entered the league with the Timberwolves, if you remember way back when, he had that string of double doubles, you know, where he just had, you know, points in the paint were like 28 points in the paint every game. He finished with like 34, but then he had like 38 rebounds too. Mm-hmm. He had like six 20-20 games in a row, and almost every point he had would be in the paint, and he'd get offensive rebounds and defensive rebounds. And I'm not saying he probably still can't even do that because he's not built in the same way, the way that they formed him to play in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. But I think he would relish in a new opportunity and a fresh start.
I can't get away from this side of thinking that you see these teams in desperate situations, right? Like I came away from the weekend thinking, like, look at the desperate teams in the NBA right now. And there's two of them. One is at the top of the standings. The other one lost to that team in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Both Cleveland and Indy are desperate teams. Now, I get Cleveland just made it to the finals, and they wouldn't necessarily be classified as a desperate team. They're desperate because they don't know how much longer LeBron is going to be there. Probably this one more season, and then he's going to at least opt for free agency and take a look at his options. Indy, of course, it was announced that Paul George wants to leave to go to LA, wants to be traded. Indy's not going to get much for Paul George, probably 50 cents on the dollar or so. They need to get up and move the guy. From an Orlando standpoint of things, and I'm always trying to think of kind of how does Orlando get involved in this? If you're John Hammond and you're Jeff Weltman, do you at least call up these teams and say, hey, I hear you're looking for a third? Like, you're looking for a third team, okay? How can we get involved here and somehow take advantage of a desperate situation? This is how good organizations are run in my mind, where you see an opportunity where maybe you can get a Kevin Love who's under contract for another 3 years, right?
That would be the target in all this,
right? That
would
be the target in all this. It would be Kevin Love. Kevin Love is moving if Cleveland is adding anybody. He is on the move.
And he thrived in a small market, and like I said, it would
be
good to maybe, I think he would play a lot better with a fresh start somewhere.
Right. Now, Chicago is going to want the world for Jimmy Butler. How would Orlando Magic fans feel about moving, because you have four picks in this year's draft? How would you feel about moving the number 6 pick in exchange for Kevin Love, probably another piece, to help a three-team trade go down where Paul George ends up in Cleveland, maybe for 1 year? And I say this from a multi-kind of faceted view of things, okay? Part A, you get a, and I just got done saying that I would take Paul George over Kevin Love. I would, but I do not think that Paul George re-signs here in Orlando. We'll talk about that coming up. But Kevin Love is under contract. You get a guy that you know, he's a double-double guy. He was in Minnesota. I think he can get back to being that because he's the third option in Cleveland. Two, you also kind of stack the deck. You set up a scenario where after next season, Cleveland could have nothing. Like, Paul George could go. They can make one run at the title. Paul George could get up, leave for L.A. LeBron could get up and leave somewhere else as well, and Cleveland is decimated. And you're taking out the top team in the Eastern Conference while taking a piece from them as well. I think that Orlando should at least call up and try to get involved in these trade scenarios. It would be a tough move to make for Jeff Weltman and John Hammond, your first move as kind of this front office here in Orlando in your first season, to move off that number six pick. But here's how I would do it if I were them. I would call up and see whether or not I can move the number six pick and get Kevin Love and maybe one other piece to help Chicago move Jimmy Butler to Cleveland, right? Let's say Jimmy Butler goes to Cleveland, right? Kevin Love comes here to Orlando, or let's say the Pacers, whatever ends up happening there. Indy or Chicago is involved in the deal. And you're able to bring in a guy like Kevin Love and hopefully bring another free agent in this summer or next summer and start to build a nice core here in Orlando. I would really like to see them explore that kind of an option. There are some desperate teams, LA another one, if they feel the need to trade for Paul George. I'd like to see Orlando get in on that to try to jumpstart this rebuild. 844-225-5580. That's 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. That is 21232. It is Monday Night with Nick and Company. It's brought to you by Gators Dockside. We're going to be all over the Paul George rumors, all over the Jimmy Butler rumors here. Coming up at 7 o'clock, the NBA draft is Thursday. What if it wasn't? Chris Croft and I get into a way to abolish the NBA draft and come up with a better system. It's Monday Night with Nick and Company. It's brought to you by Gators Dockside.
This is ESPN Orlando's Monday Night with Nick and Company, presented by Gators Dockside on ESPN 580 and ESPNOrlando.com.
All right, we got to rework this trade. Welcome back. It's Monday Night with Nick and Company. It's brought to you by Gators Dockside. Go online, GatorsDockside.com. Find the nearest location to you. All you can eat traditional wings tonight. You can try their different sauces. College World Series is on the TV.
Wings sound good right now.
I know, right?
I had an early lunch. I didn't get anything before I came in. The traffic was bad. Mm-hmm. I'm hungry.
I had a great Father's Day weekend. My father was actually out of town. I spent it with my grandfather and my mother. We got wings from Gators Dockside, enjoyed a nice little lunch, had a nice time. It was a good time. Yeah.
I called my dad, and he was telling me how he spent the weekend at this beautiful lake cabin that my uncle has with a bunch of our family members. And
that's great.
I've never been to this lake cabin before. Every other person in my family has been to this lake cabin in New York. In
you
the
had
woods.
To stay because you had to work, right?
I was here. I was working.
Welcome to the business.
Yeah, but they've owned this cabin for like 2 years. I've just never gotten to go.
Oh.
And the news that was given out this weekend was that they sold this lake cabin.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and so I call my dad, and he just bragged about how great the last weekend at the lake cabin was, knowing that I had never been.
That's awesome.
And just continued to re-ask, wait, are you sure you never got to go up there? So that's how I spent my Father's Day with my dad. On the phone with him just making fun of the fact that I'll never get to experience something that was apparently great.
We got
to
rework this three-team deal. Many of you are jumping in on Twitter at ESPN580Nick and kind of coaching me through this as well as I try to put this through on the fly as we get some of this Jimmy Butler news in. According to reports, ESPN's Mark Stein reporting that the Cleveland Cavaliers are trying to find a way to acquire Jimmy Butler. Now, they need a third team to get a deal done. My question is, why would you not want to be the third team if you're Orlando? Now, I'm not saying take on bad contracts. I'm saying if you can somehow be a team that helps move this along, yes, you're making a team in your conference better. I totally understand that. But there's no guarantees long term.
You're making the best team that you weren't going to beat anyways.
Right. There's no guarantees long term with Cleveland anyway. Like, they've got one more year left. Maybe two, depending on what happens with LeBron. Now, if LeBron re-signs there, obviously things are different, but none of us have a crystal ball. But if you can get involved and somehow pick up an asset that you otherwise would not be able to acquire, I think it would be worth it for John Hammond and Jeff Weltman, the Orlando Magic organization, to try to get in on this. Desperate teams in desperate situations usually yield a great opportunity for teams like the Orlando Magic.
The core of this team is still very young. We can take a swing for someone big to get good now, while still retaining a large part of that young core that will eventually be good and will stay good once this period of whatever we do here ends. And by that time, LeBron will probably start to slide a little bit if he's not already out west. I'm saying, like, when guys, when Aaron Gordon are older,
right,
whoever we take with the sixth overall pick, whatever happens there, when he's older, we're in a good position where we have assets and we have the ability to make this move now and still be fine long term.
Now, during the break, you mentioned to me that perhaps the number six pick was too much to give up. And you're probably—
I don't think perhaps. I think it is.
You think it is. You think number six is too much to give up to get Kevin Love and maybe another piece involved in this deal. Would you give up? I reworked this, okay? I reworked this during the break, and I want your thoughts on this at 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. You've already found me on Twitter at ESPN580Nick. In this deal, it's Paul George, by the way. We're talking Jimmy Butler and Paul George. Both those guys are available. I feel like it's the trade deadline all over again because
it's
these
fantastic.
Two guys. By the way, a message to Chicago and Indy. Just do it already. Just do it, okay? Get a deal done. Enough of this. Will we? Won't we? It's worse than Ross and Rachel, okay? Just do it.
This is why I was saying at the trade deadline, teams like Boston shouldn't do these moves because they're both going to be available in the summertime. Just wait.
Yeah. Especially Chicago. Gar Foreman, John Paxson, all right? Just get it over with. Enough of this, Jimmy Butler. We will trade him. We won't trade him. But let me surface around Paul George here quickly, and then we'll go back to Jimmy Butler. Because Paul George reportedly wants to bolt for L.A. after this one season. Now, I think if you're Cleveland, you take that risk. If you're the Cavs, you take the risk, get Paul George, because he helps you perhaps win a championship next year. You have the culture, you have the buy-in around LeBron James that might be able to convince Paul George to stay. And as I've said before, flags fly forever. Why not go for it? So what I would do is I would do 25-33 to Indiana. Magic get Kevin Love. Paul George goes to Cleveland. Is that a fair deal? Like, I don't want to do this whole, well, Devin Marvel for Steph Curry stuff, okay? Like, I'm not trying to trade trash here. I'm trying to be honest here on how this works. Maybe there's a... And people are pointing out to me right now that, you know, you got to give up some kind of a big contract. Cleveland would be the one taking on big contracts. Am I wrong here?
Like, yeah, what it is you the unfriendly contracts that the Pacers have right now are really between Al Jefferson and Monte Ellis, both set to make just about $10 million. Monte's $11 million next year. Al Jefferson, 10, and then Monte has a player option for the next year for another $11 million, which he'll probably take because he's getting old and won't command double figures, at least. I don't think so. Who knows with today's NBA? And Al Jefferson has a team option for the year after. So that one would be the one I would imagine that a team like Cleveland would target. And Al Jefferson, who can... off the bench, you need scoring off the bench. That's the one thing that Cleveland team could not do. When they had LeBron James out of the game, they couldn't get anything going, and they haven't had any low post scoring. Tristan Thompson disappeared during that NBA Finals and could not put the ball in the bucket down low.
He did for the
Al
first
Jefferson,
three games, yes.
Keep Tristan Thompson for defense. That's what he's good at. Off the bench, bring in Al Jefferson, who can still work it in the paint like nobody else. He's got 2 years on that deal with a player option, so you'd only have him for 1 year, and you can let him go. But if he comes out and he's good enough for you and fills that low post scoring void, which you have in the bench scoring, which there's a huge lack of on that Cleveland team, that's an asset that I could see them going for. Or they could like Monte just because they like that, you know, two-guard scoring option, but they still have JR, they still have Iman Shumpert. That just creates a bit of a head block at that position. I feel like Al Jefferson would be a guy they try and take on there.
Yeah, if a deal gets done for Jimmy Butler or Paul George to go to Cleveland, it is going to be one of those crazy what just happened trades, right?
Right.
Like one of those trades where you're kind of looking at it, you're saying, I don't understand how this worked in the trade machine, but it actually worked. If you're Cleveland and you're looking at these two guys, I think Paul George is going to be easier to get because, of course, he wants to go. But I think Jimmy Butler would be an option for them because he's also under contract for, I think, another season after this.
I also don't think that just those two Magic picks are going to get Kevin Love. I think that the Pacers are going to want something else. Because, I mean, what are they getting out of this deal? What are they getting right now out of this deal? They're getting our two picks.
They're getting two picks. That's what they're getting.
That's it.
They're going to need something
else. They're going to need something else.
Okay.
We are that team.
What are we at?
We have the young assets. You offer them up. Say an Elfrid Payton. Right now, all they have is Jeff Teague. I believe George Hill is a free. George Hill isn't playing. He's in Utah. Used to be. Excuse me, but Jeff Teague.
No, it's fine. Time passes quickly.
Jeff Teague is not signed for this next season. He's free agent. So you could either go after re-sign him, or you make a move for a guy like Elfrid Payton, who has shown flashes of being very good.
Okay.
The Magic are in a position where they can then draft a point guard if this trade were to get done before Thursday.
So then you take a Dennis Smith Jr. or whatever point guard
is there. Something like that. Or you can, so, or maybe they don't want Elfrid Payton. I talked about how Monta Ellis is aging, that two-guard score. You send him Evan Fournier. And Evan Fournier, a little more proven.
Year two of a four-year, five-year deal.
A little
deal.
More proven, a very friendly contract. You could probably take one of those picks out of there and do Fournier in that 25th pick. And then you could get Kevin Love. The Cavs would take on Al Jefferson, and they would get Paul George as well. And I feel like the Cavs would probably have to shed some more cap somewhere, so an aging cap vet might be ending up shipped to Orlando in that sense, which wouldn't be the worst thing. For us, but yeah, I'd have to look at the numbers for the Cavs.
I'll tell you what,
as well.
I mean, I think if you could do a deal and keep the number six pick and somehow end up with a Monta Ellis, and I'm not a fan of Monta Ellis's. Right. I think we know who Monta Ellis is and a Kevin Love, though. You know, and I understand, like, people, they love
that's
to make
probably
the joke.
What it would be because
they
it's
love
another
to make
shed
the jokes
contract.
About Kevin Love. I understand, and Kevin Love being trash. Kevin Love is not trash. Like, he is a complimentary player on Cleveland. I get that he would have a different role here in Orlando. Listen, it's the same. It's the Chris Bosh thing. Like, Chris Bosh had one of the hardest jobs in the NBA when playing for Miami. Kevin Love has that same job in Cleveland. I think he can get back to being kind of that first or second option on a team if he were to go to a place like, let's say, in Orlando.
And he was thrust into this Cleveland position. It was expected him to be great in the perfect role third guy for LeBron James, whereas in Minnesota, he was kind of out of the spotlight and was kind of Kevin Love. Go do what you can do as Kevin Love. And I think in a position like that, he could be good.
844-225-5580. That's 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. That is 21232. It's Monday Night with Nick and Company. It is brought to you by Gators Dockside. I want to continue to talk about this Paul George, Jimmy Butler situation. What the Chicago Bulls might be looking for a Jimmy Butler, Indy for Paul George as well. And also, there was a big trade over the weekend, if you didn't hear, the Celtics and the Sixers. Swap the first and third picks and some other stuff as well. We'll go to your calls, your texts, and your tweets. Coming up next, it's Monday Night with Nick and Company. It's brought to you by Gators Dockside.
This is ESPN Orlando's Monday Night with Nick and Company, presented by Gators Dockside on ESPN 580 and ESPNOrlando.com.
Hey, welcome back. It's Monday Night with Nick and Company. It's brought to you by Gators Dockside. Go online, GatorsDockside.com. Find the nearest location to you. All you can eat traditional wings tonight up until 11 o'clock. You can watch the College World Series. Try their different sauces. Be a great night out there at Gators Dockside. 844-225-5580 is the number. You can text 21232. Also on Twitter at ESPN 580. Nick, get my buddy Chris Crawford, who's with me on the show, as he always is, at ESPN 580cc. Just a tangent question here. Why does Kevin Love get so much hate? Like, I've enjoyed kind of laughing at Kevin Love over the last couple of years. I mean, but I thought Kevin Love, I know he was bad in Game 5 of the NBA Finals. Two early fouls kind of derailed him, but Kevin Love was not the reason why Cleveland lost that series. I thought Kevin Love was very good in Games 1 and 2, and I believe Games 4, to help Cleveland stay at least competitive in that series, and they weren't that competitive.
He also definitely was not the reason the Minnesota Timberwolves used to be so bad, because he was playing on Minnesota Timberwolves teams with Sebastian Telfair.
No, I mean, I got people texting me here. He was a stat padder, a fake all-star. I mean, listen, I used to love making fun of Kevin Love, but I've developed a respect for his game over the last couple of years, and more than anything, that job he has of being the third banana on a team with LeBron James and another star, and in this situation, it's Kyrie Irving. Ask Chris Bosh. I mean, that is one of the hardest jobs in the NBA because you have to give up every bit of your game and be ready. Like, you have to change, you got to be
a different player, yes, too, in his situation.
You go from being kind of a 25-12 guy that Kevin Love was in Minnesota to a guy that stands in the corner and shoots threes. You do all the dirty work. I mean, I know he's not a wizard defensively, but you're telling me I have an opportunity to not give up the number six pick and get Kevin Love if I'm the Orlando Magic?
Just imagine him hitting Aaron Gordon in stride with those outlet passes.
Yeah, we saw that in the finals. We don't give Kevin Love. We give Kevin Love a lot of respect and a lot of credit for the outlet passes, yet I still don't feel like we give Kevin Love.
He doesn't get enough credit for those passes. They are incredible. You ever tried throwing a basketball full court on point? He's not even lining it up.
Do you want to know how it went for me?
Did it hit the back? Like, did it go over the guy's head and hit the wall?
I'm sitting here, am I? Yeah. 844-225-5580. Text is 21232. Let's go to the phone lines. John is in Orlando. John, you're the leadoff hitter on Monday Night with Nick and Company. What's going on, John?
Hey, Nick. Thanks for taking my call. I think what Chicago definitely needs to do is trade Jimmy Butler, get that number three pick from Boston, because that's kind of what they've been aiming for anyway the whole time. I feel like Jimmy Butler could actually do a lot better in Boston under the coach of, you know, Stevenson. And I don't know. I'm not necessarily sure if Cleveland should be trading Kevin Love away and get, you know, Paul George, because I don't think it makes them any better. Paul George requires the basketball quite a bit, and so if you're giving him the ball at that time, who are you taking the possession away from? Are you taking it from LeBron? Are you taking it from Curry, who both are the main reason why they even made the finals in the first place? So I just don't think trading away Kevin Love is definitely going to be the answer to stop the Warriors.
Yeah. You might be right, John. You might be. I think that Cleveland is going to kind of shuffle the deck here in hopes of giving Golden State a different look. And of course, those two teams are the prohibitive favorites to make it to the finals again next year. Now, will Chicago take the number three pick for Jimmy Butler? This is something interesting, because from every report I've heard, Chicago turned down the number one pick in the draft. Now, that was at the trade deadline number one. But if Boston wanted Jimmy Butler and Chicago was willing to kind of part with him, I would think that those talks surrounding Jimmy Butler would have started already prior to this weekend when it was the number one pick, before Boston had flipped the one for the number three. Now, that being said, Boston got not just the number three in this year's draft, they got either next year's Lakers pick in 2018 if it's between 2 and 5.
Which
and
is
then
great.
If it's not that, the protections are so weird on that. It's so convoluted. And if not, then they automatically get Sacramento's.
They get the better of two. They get choice to swap with Sacramento.
It's so nerdy.
They get Sacramento and then they get the choice to swap the best pick sort of thing. Yeah,
they get another pick swap, which has worked out so well for them already.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing though too, is that the Nets were pretty much already guaranteed at the trade deadline to be the worst team, have the worst overall record. It just didn't seem like anyone was going to suck as bad as them. And so basically, the worst that pick could have been would have been 4. The way the lottery works out, the worst that pick would have been.
Oh, you're
would
talking
be
about
four.
For Boston.
For
yeah,
Boston.
With the way, yes, there, they were locked no, in at a top four
but,
pick. Look
but,
at Phoenix.
But
yes.
Yeah, but even what it's the fact that if it wasn't 1, it'd be 2. And for it to slip down to 3, the odds are just unreal. Like, the chances of that actually happening are absurd. So if they weren't willing to make it for that one there, knowing that it would probably be most likely 1, if not 1, probably a very good chance at 2, if not 2, would most definitely be 3.
Right.
Why would they be willing to make that move straight up now? Because they knew there would be a top 3 pick then.
That's the question I'm kind of asking, you know? Right? Is that when you knew that you were going to get a top 3 pick, I don't think
that it'd be foolish if they made the pick now. Because then it'd be like, you had the chance to make this move when it was probably going to be the number 1 overall pick. Now you've made it when it's the 3rd pick, and you could have cost yourself drafting Markelle Fultz.
844-225-5580. The text is 21232. That is 21232. The way I look at this... Let me finish up the Jimmy Butler Boston thing here as well. I don't think Boston's going to move that number 3 pick for Jimmy Butler, because I think they want to keep cap space available to go get Gordon Hayward. Because the minute you make that move and you traded from 1 to 3, partly because it opened up the cap space for a max slot and that gave you Gordon Hayward, I think that they want to keep that open for free agency to start, which of course would get them the opportunity to at least sit down with Gordon Hayward and bring him in.
And well, and here's the other thing. You can still make that pick at 3, and you can trade that pick, right? You can trade. How long until you have to wait until you can trade? Isn't there there's a certain
amount
of time?
Agent?
No, a guy you just drafted.
I think it's like December 7th
it's
or something, December something. Like there's
it's,
sometime
no, it's
in
not
December.
During the season, because the Cavs traded Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, you're right.
Before he was.
You are right. Yes.
So it's a certain amount of time. But either way, my point is that trade will still probably be there, because the guy that the Celtics is going to get at 3, a Jason Tatum or a Josh Jackson, that's the guy the Pacers and Bulls both want. They want a Josh Jackson. They want a Jason Tatum type player, because that's the type player they're going to be losing. They want to fill that void if they're going to move that. So there's no point in wasting and trading that 3rd pick away, because like you said, one of the reasons they moved back was to get Gordon Hayward. So you can still make this move and you can try and pick up Gordon Hayward in free agency. And guess what? If you don't pick up Gordon Hayward in free agency, then you pick up that phone again. You say, hey, Bulls, hey, Pacers, remember those talks we were having earlier? What do you think of our Josh Jackson guy? Mm-hmm. What do you think of what do you think of our first round pick next year?
No, that's a good point. No, it is. You can wait and see, and I think that's what Boston is going to
that's
do.
That's what
is
I do, because if you can get
wait and see on
if
this.
You can get Gordon Hayward, you get him. I said it before the trade deadline this season. I said Boston's a team that doesn't need to make a move right now because they're the best team in the East. And we'll see how they stack up against the Cavs
right.
in the Eastern Conference Finals and what happened. Got dominated. They obviously couldn't keep up. They need another guy.
They do.
That option is still there today, and you didn't waste your time at the trade deadline going to get it. Now you can try, and you have more options. You've got more to work with. This is the time to do it, and they still have a lot of time to mess around with this.
Pointing in the right direction on this, because this is another thing that kind of jumps out to me here in the stories that Cleveland is kind of wheeling and dealing and trying to get something done to land either Paul George or Jimmy Butler, and they are answering phone calls, and perhaps making phone calls as well. Why the hell is David Griffin answering the phone up there? Like, someone help me out here, okay? If you were David Griffin and you won a championship last year, you were the architect of a championship team, and maybe I'm just, maybe I've just, I swear I'm a good person to work with. I do. I say this to Jerry Daniels every day after we're doing the show. I promise I'm cool to work with. It's all right. It's not always that difficult. And I say this to Chris Crawford quite a bit too, but you're the architect of a championship team. You put that squad together, you deal with all the LeBron stuff, you deal with the fact that every time you make a move that works out, it's a tribute to LeBron. Every time there's a bad move, perhaps you take some of the slack for it, and you don't have a contract. Like, David Griffin, his contract expires on July 1st, so what, 12 days from now? And that guy's answering the phone? No.
What if he's low-key pulling off moves to just sabotage him in the future, and then he just leaves?
It's hard to get a job after you do that,
He knows Paul George is definitely going, so he's going to bring him in and give up assets, and then the Cavs are going to be bad next year.
I wouldn't be answering the phone. Like, at this point, and Mark Stein reported last week that he thinks, or no, it was Brian Windhorst, excuse me, that you know, he thinks it's a long shot that David Griffin returns to Cleveland. I have to say, like, I tip my cap, I guess, to David Griffin for answering the phone and continuing to do his job. I know that his contract runs through the end of July 1st, but at some point, like, I would call up Dan Gilbert. I'd say, hey, like, do you want to talk about a contract here? You want to get something done? Because I'm talking about everyone else's contract, but I don't have a contract of my own. I'd like to get something done here. That really does amaze me that this guy is trying to make this team better, trying to put this team in a situation to win a title next year. He might not be there.
He's not even a part of the team.
Right. He might not be there. Like, he should be cleaning out his desk. 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. The Sixers and Celtics traded the first and third pick in the draft over the weekend. I love the trade for both teams. If this one thing happens for Boston, that's next. It's Monday Night with Nick and Company. It's brought to you by Gators Dockside.
This is ESPN Orlando's Monday Night with Nick and Company, presented by Gators Dockside on ESPN 580 and ESPNOrlando.com.
Hey, welcome back. It's Monday Night with Nick and Company. It's brought to you by Gators Dockside. Go online, GatorsDockside.com. Find the nearest location to you. All you can eat traditional wings tonight. You can try their different sauces. NBA Draft is Thursday. Make sure to tune into ESPN 580, beginning with ESPN Afternoon, Scott and Ed's at 4 o'clock. For our latest coverage on the draft, we're going to take you 4 to 7, and then at 7 p.m., ESPN Radio's coverage of the NBA Draft will take over right here on ESPN 580 Orlando. Many people kind of texting in, asking the question why teams would help the Cleveland Cavaliers get better. Right? Like, I'm seeing a lot of this. Why would you help Cleveland get Paul George or Jimmy Butler to create another quote-unquote super team, which, by the way, Cleveland's already a super team. This would make them like a super-duper team.
Yeah, they're going to win the East either way,
right.
And Paul George might only be there for 1 year. And Jimmy Butler, I mean, even if it works out for 3 or 4 years, you're still not going to be good enough to compete with them.
From an Orlando Magic standpoint,
yeah.
Yes.
You're like, still not. You got to swallow this pill, guys.
Yes.
You're not going to be good enough to compete with the Cavs in the next 2 or 3 years. It's going to take us at least 4, maybe 7 years to get to any sort of caliber where we can beat them. Oh, and part of that is just because LeBron James is still very, very
awesome.
Good. And if he leaves,
awesome
if he leaves, then yeah, the door opens a little sooner. Because that's the other thing too. That Cavs team may not be stuck together forever. You don't lose that much by helping out a team that's has the player that's made it to the Eastern Conference Finals 7 years in a row, or the regular NBA Finals.
Yeah, unless you're what, Boston, maybe Washington and Toronto.
Yeah.
You're not concerned with Cleveland getting any better.
No,
like,
yeah, Boston didn't jump into these trade talks because they were like, oh, let's see if we can help Cleveland get Paul George. No, they jumped into the trade talks. They were like, oh no, we can't let them get Paul George.
They want to keep Paul George and Jimmy Butler the hell away from Cleveland.
Yes.
That's what they want to do. Plus, if you do get into this type of a scenario, like an Orlando Magic, let's say, and you could get Kevin Love, let's say, in this situation without giving up market value, because that's the thing, you can buy low in a situation where two teams are desperate. Like, especially in the Paul George situation, both Indy and Cleveland are desperate. Cleveland wants to get better now. Cleveland knows that they don't have a very long line of opportunity in front of them in terms of time. Like, they've got a year, maybe two, this thing's done. It's over, because LeBron is going to get up for greener pastures, because that's what LeBron does. He's the billionaire on his fourth wife. That's just what happens. Okay?
He's a guy that's wanted to act forever. You don't think he's going to make the Shaq move
LeBron
to LA?
LeBron is going to go where LeBron has helped the best to win basketball games. And he was liberated from this feeling of, what is it, from this feeling of kind of needing to be in Cleveland by winning the title a year ago.
Yeah.
He no longer has that feeling of needing to win a championship there, because he's already done it. So if I'm Orlando, if I'm trying to think of some of the other bottom-tier teams in the Eastern Conference that might be able to get involved in a deal like this, but like if I'm
the
Orlando
Hawks.
Especially, yeah, maybe the Hawks, maybe a team like
the
that.
The Heat.
Orlando.
The Heat definitely could be a team that you come see sneaking in. They've been tied to some rumors already.
Man, Miami. Pat Riley is just impressive.
Yeah, can never sleep on the Knicks to do something dumb.
But if I'm Orlando, I'm getting in on the conversation, seeing if I can kind of fleece Kevin Love in this deal and help Indiana unload a star they know they're going to leave, help Cleveland get a guy that they think might be the piece to the puzzle, and give up maybe only a couple of draft picks and not have to take on kind of a bad contract, let's say.
The Cavs strike me as a team who aren't necessarily going to make this move, not even because they don't have the assets, just because they don't feel the need to get a Jimmy Butler or a Paul George, but I could see them making all these rumors fly and then swooping in and stealing Brooke Lopez away from the Nets for absolutely nothing.
Who is this?
The Cleveland Cavaliers.
Cleveland. So they just go get Brooke Lopez.
They go get Brooke Lopez while everyone's focused on Paul George and Jimmy Butler and trying to figure out a way to stop them from getting him. Because he's an asset that isn't going to cost as much. They won't necessarily need to loop in a third team. They've got enough young guys that could sell tickets to a team that needs to fill an arena and also, you know, have somewhat of an interest level with them. I think that would be a better move for the Cavs, too. And I know they've been interested in Brooke Lopez in the past. Mm-hmm. I just think that's something that we might see come up under the radar here.
Is that they get in on those conversations, perhaps if the asking price is too high for Jimmy Butler or Paul George.
It will be for them. Unless they can get a third team
involved. They've got to get a third team in. Let me segue to this, because Boston and Philadelphia finished a trade over the weekend. That news kind of started to leak out Friday as we were getting off of the air here on ESPN 580. The way the trade goes down, Boston trades the number one pick in this year's draft. They get Philadelphia's third pick in this year's draft. They also get either the 2018 Lakers pick, if it's between 2 and 5, or the better of Philly's 2019 first-round pick and Sacramento's first-round pick. But let me just kind of focus on this year's picks, because I think for Boston, and it's a deal that I like for both teams. It is. It's a deal I like for both teams. I'll start from the Philadelphia side of things. And what I like about that is I think Markelle Fultz is the perfect fit for this team. Assuming health on the Ben Simmons side and the Joel Embiid side, you have a very nice core now of Markelle Fultz, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Dario Saric, and whoever else you want to put on that team. If it's Robert Covington, who I think they really like there as well. But you can finally see a team that has kind of been kicking around in the mud, taking the best player available, starting to form out a little bit. And I know that Brett Brown, the head coach there in Philly, is very high on the Ben Simmons point guard experiment. I've heard that Markelle Fultz is a guy that can play off the ball and can be that two guard, kind of a lead guard, but the two guard,
You'd see it like a Kyrie sort of LeBron relationship.
Right, you can play those guys on the court at the same time. And also what Markelle Fultz is it's a great hedge of your bet against the Ben Simmons point guard experiment. If it does not work out, Markelle Fultz is your point guard of the future. You don't have to trade anybody away. Ben Simmons moves to a different position in the lineup, and that team gets moving. Now, are they going to win a championship next year? No. But Philadelphia has made the moves now, I think, necessary, where you can start to see a nice, rough outline to what that team's going to look like. And I really like them in about 2 years. Heck, even next year, if they go out and they're active in free agency, like, they're not going to go sign Kyle Lowry, who is rumored to perhaps be on his way there. The Markelle Fultz deal kind of works against that. But they go out and they get some shooting to put around some of these guys. Philly could be a very interesting kind of bottom four playoff team in the Eastern Conference, in my mind. Like a team that wins in the high 30s early, or low 40s perhaps, in the East and kind of sneaks into the playoffs.
One guy I saw who was rumored to be looking to test free agency actually is Andre Iguodala. Love to see him venture
return
back.
Return to Philly?
Yeah, return to Philly. I could see that happening. But the one concern I have with Philly is that they've done all of this, and two of their biggest, most important pieces are guys that have already missed entire seasons and are very young and are kind of the centerpieces. So as great as this whole Philly thing is, and trust me, I'm rooting for this to be good because, oh my gosh, Markelle Fultz, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid could be an incredible, like, homegrown trio, which we haven't seen in the NBA outside of Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker.
Okay. I mean, like, Golden
They added Kevin Durant. I'm there. Yeah, they're done.
They have a nice homegrown three, though, as well. They won a title in 2015,
not when they added that fourth one. I forget that.
I would say in 2015.
But I'm saying that, you know, from the beginning, and yeah, Golden State as well. But I wanted to go with my Spurs.
That's fine.
But it could be so much fun. But we could also see it all crumbling down so quickly, and they could be in a lot of trouble long term if it does crumble down.
If it does, and that's what's going to keep us intrigued about this. Now let me move on to Brian Colangelo, who's the GM there in Philadelphia. Now it's your team, Bri. Okay, it's now Brian Colangelo's team. That move there, you can finally say goodbye to the Sam Hinkie era. The process is officially over. That was a very anti-process move. You move up to number one, you give up two first-round picks in order to move up there. Hinkie kind of made this deal possible with some of the other moves that he made, but Brian Colangelo is now going to be the guy on record for moving up and taking Markelle Fultz, and we'll see if that works out. And that's kind of why Danny Ainge is on the block here as well. Once again, Trader Danny decides to move another asset in favor of creating more assets here.
I like the
trade for Danny Ainge if one thing and one thing only happens. And this was kind of my point about Boston, okay? I don't mind him moving back to three because I think he can move back to three and still get the player that he wants. They like Josh Jackson out of Kansas, reportedly, or Jason Tatum. This feels like John Lynch of the 49ers fleecing my Chicago Bears. So Chicago could move up to take Mitch Trubisky. They move back and still get Solomon Thomas, the guy they wanted all along. It feels as if that's what Boston is going to do here at number three. But I like this trade if and only if one thing happens. Danny Ainge turns this into a real NBA player. Like, I mean, turns it into the guys that they're being rumored about. Anthony Davis, Jimmy Butler, Paul George, in, by the way, addition to trading for Gordon Hayward. Because Markelle Fultz could be a long-term all-star, a 10-time all-star in the NBA. We're not sure. We don't know. But if he turns into that, and Danny Ainge does not turn these assets into a big-time player, Ainge is always going to be remembered kind of as the guy that let that guy get away in lieu of the process, in lieu of kind of creating more assets. And we've seen this Boston team is a far cry away from being able to compete with Cleveland. One other thing as well. What does this mean for Isaiah Thomas, who we just watched had an outstanding season, 28 points a game? I don't think that this move says Boston's all in on Isaiah Thomas. I think the Celtics are going to let him play out this year.
Buys him like two more years.
He's only under contract for one more, but he's going to go in. He's going to be able to be a free agent. Boston's going to throw the money out at him. He's going to need to play well this upcoming season. I'm not buying all in on Isaiah Thomas. I don't think the 5'8" ball-centric guard that's coming off a hip injury is going to be a long-term option there in Boston. But it's going to be entertaining to watch Markelle Fultz right down the corridor there from Boston playing in Philadelphia. Coming up next, should we get rid of the NBA draft? Chris Crawford and I talk about whether or not the NBA draft is the reason for tanking and whether or not abolishing it would move into kind of a different system for the NBA. It's Monday Night with Nick and Company. It's brought to you by Gators Dockside.